Hello and welcome to DNF1 today with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor. Now, today was the second sprint race of the season. We're here at Monza, and the results that I'm going to give you now, the grid itself has changed in the sense that some people have penalties, but the results for today obviously set out the grid for tomorrow. So let's start off. Bottas started in first, finished in first, but he now starts tomorrow 20th. So he is not a pole position guy, but he got 3 points for taking the win today, but he will be starting in 20th. So the grid that I'm now going to run through is how the grid will start tomorrow. We've got Max will be in first place. We've got Ricardo and Norris. Ricardo a front row start. Norris sitting there just behind him. We've got Hamilton will be starting fourth. We've got Leclerc and Sainz, the two Ferraris together. Giovinazzi, who's found some form once he's been told to get his act together. Perez back in eighth, so another one that's kind of out of position to a certain extent, as will be Bottas. Stroll in ninth, Alonso in tenth, we've got Vettel, Ocon, Latifi, Russell back in 14th, we've got Wartone back in 15th, Mazepin, Kubica, we've got Mick Schumacher back in 18th, and Gasly, who was the big loser today, had an incident going out of turn one, lost his front wing, and will be starting 19th. Derek, so today's sprint race, we mentioned it on Friday that it might not be up to much, etc. And to be honest, after turn one, lap one, and there was a bit of a stramash with a couple of cars, they should have just called it halfway through lap one and we could have just saved ourselves the rest of the time watching it, really.
Garbage. Absolute rubbish. And that's really bad for me to be saying that about F1, which I really enjoy. But this was just very, very poor. It doesn't work out. It doesn't work. However, they're saying it, there's either people managing the tyres, managing their old thing.
Yeah.
But no, it's rubbish.
Well, let's talk about turn one first of all. We get into turn one because Hamilton started in second. He had a pretty poor start and went back the way. Gasly goes past and runs up the back end of Ricciardo, loses his front wing, winds up in the gravel. Derek is reporting from the field today, by the way. That's why we've got some kids running about in the background. He's working at the same time, yeah. So Hamilton actually was probably one of the ones that lost out quite a bit today, along with Gasly. But then Hamilton effectively spent the entire race stuck behind Ricciardo and Norris on soft tyres. They said those soft tyres would only last 15 laps, but unfortunately they lasted the full race and they had performance. So unfortunately, turn one, that was all the excitement. We had a couple of incidents with Stroll, Perez and Alonso later on we'll talk about. But in general, the only thing that was worth watching in that was Hamilton try to shut down Norris on the different tyres. And again, it never happened. The cars do not allow it. And as you said, Derek, it was absolute garbage. We watched it and we're like, why are we wasting our time with this? I think sprint races have got a place in the sport, but not in this format.
Definitely not in this format. They don't work. And nobody gains anything from it. Nobody learns anything from it.
No.
You know, if there was maybe a reverse grid,
yep,
you know, which we've always said, that would make motivation to do it, you know, that would help it, you know.
Yeah.
But
and
as, know,
we saw,
you know, so,
as we saw, Derek, some people were going up a couple of places, but keep in mind that Gasly fell out from sixth place, so everybody behind him made up some places in that sense. So with those two for the front effectively dropping out, a good chunk of the drivers have moved up two positions for the race tomorrow through no effort of their own. Gasly losing it and Bottas with an engine fault has gone to the back. So as it actually stands, we've got some good positions for people like Giovinazzi. And it looks like Gio's done a great job, but he only went up one place technically, but he's starting seventh tomorrow. So it looks good for him, but how he'll stay there on full fuel, etc., we don't actually know. But the other incident I wanted to talk about was, so into turn one, we've got Perez goes up the inside of Stroll, goes over the rumble strips, and I mean, 4 or 5 rumble strips clearly on the inside of the bend. Gets an advantage by overtaking him instead of just letting him go past at that time. And then what happens is we wind up in a situation where Red Bull are basically turning around and saying, well, we were working out if we should give the position back. This is to Mike Massey. They're then turning around saying, should we give the position back? We were working out if we should, when they should have given it back straight away. And it was absolute bull from Red Bull in regard to giving the position back. It's absolute joke. They know the rules, they know the position they were going to be told to, and decided to hang about for nearly a whole lap in front of Stroll instead of giving them the lap back. And it is absolutely disgusting that Red Bull are even turning around and trying to argue the point on this. And I just, they've turned into a right moany team, along with Perez, who turned into a moany person last race because Norris challenged him.
I know, when did they start being allowed to get on directly onto Michael Massey every time? Hello, Mike. This is Red Bull Sporting Director. I want to complain.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take a ticket. We'll have you next time.
Exactly. Derek, you know, the amount of moan I've heard for Red Bull since Silverstone has made me really dislike the team and everything that they kind of stand for. I wasn't a fan of Red Bull in the past because of the way they've treated previous drivers. But this just, I mean, that. Oh, Mike, we were working out if we should give the he overtook it on the inside over five rumble strips and should have gave it back instantly. But no, he hangs on hoping to either gain an advantage or something. Then they're like, oh, but then we gave it back in a compromising position. Well, if you felt that was going to be a compromising position, you should have gave it back straight away because it was plain and obvious. There was no discussion over it. Perez knows to get that place back. And we've seen it in every other motorsport. When a driver does something like that, it's clearly an advantage. It's absolute bullshit coming for Red Bull, and it's disgusting. They're taking the piss out of us, the fans, as well as what the sporting director and the stewards. Absolutely bang out of order, Red Bull. Get your house in order, get your drivers in order, and then he start getting on the radio to Mike Massey moaning like we bitches. That's the problem with them at the moment. I've not even been drinking today, Derek. Moving on. The one thing I saw for the sprint races, these guys actually felt like they were racing. There was speed about them. Should we be looking at bringing back refueling? These guys should go out. They've got a third of a tank, or they should have smaller tanks. And they should be coming in twice in a race to refuel the car and keep it within a far lighter weight limit. Would we get better running for the tyres? And would we get better running with the cars on track?
If somebody who's sort of vastly more intelligent than me, and I'm not trying to be belittling here, but basically I'm sure they could work out how much fuel it would take to do 18 laps at 150 mile an hour.
All they need to do is, they know full well that they could turn around and say, right, your pit window is between lap 18 and lap 22, because that's when your fuel will run out if you go full speed. Because what you don't want to do is to give them a big enough window that they can fuel save and get an advantage from it. We want to see them driving 100% speed and performance of the car, and make them, they have to come in and change the tyres at that point anyway, and make everybody do two stops, but we'll start to see some faster racing. We'll not have them trying to eke the tyres out for 40 or 45 laps. They'll just put on the softest, the fastest tyres, the car will be lighter, and we'll get actually this type of racing from the get-go, instead of having to wait until the last 10, 15 laps in a normal race, where we then wind up with drivers who are also trying to still manage tyres that have maybe been in the car for 40 laps. It's an absolute joke. It really is.
I'm just thinking, right, instead of putting fuel into the car, what they need to do is, like they change the tyres, change a fuel cell. Do you get what I mean? As they come into the thing, they pull a cassette out, put a new cassette in, and away they go.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it, yeah.
That, you know, rather than stand there with the gun, which is sort of pouring naked fuel or into the car if it spills or whatever. If they can have a thing where it's a sealed cassette that they just pull out and push another one in.
That makes sense. I'm not entirely sure of the logistics of it, but it would be a better idea, because that's why they stopped refueling, because they said it was to obviously it was better safety. But likewise, it doesn't give us better racing, and unfortunately that's been the case for a while. We've got past the point where they're actually having to go out there and fuel save, you know, where they were having to lift and coast and move up the gears quicker and stuff. We're kind of past that point because they've gotten efficient enough engines. However, we're still in the situation that drivers are not pushing 100% for 100% of the race. And until we get that, we're going to get crap racing. The sprint race shows us what is maybe capable because they're on a lighter fuel load. But, I mean, in the 17 laps, we rarely saw any proper overtakes apart from the problem at the start. And then likewise, the safety car, we lost a couple of laps there, so it was even shorter than what it was. It just doesn't make any sense. Pirelli said these softs would last 15 laps, for example, and the guys did obviously the 17, 18 laps, but they saved a couple of laps because of the safety car. But then we should be seeing the guys pushing those tyres to the point that they fall off, come in, refuel, new tyres, and they're then flat out for another 20 laps. That's what we should be looking at. But hey, as you said, Derek, other people smarter than us are working at what's best to do this. Derek, obviously the results are in for the grid tomorrow. No one's hugely out of position apart from Bottas and Gasly, so we'll see them maybe coming through for the back. But out with that, there's not really any huge surprises. But Hamilton's a bit out of position, a couple of McLarens in front of him, with the same Merck engine. Can you see Hamilton struggling to get past them tomorrow? Because they're not going to just wave them past.
Hamilton stands no chance whatsoever on this course. The car doesn't seem to be able to accelerate enough. If he had practiced it today, if he was going to overtake somebody tomorrow, he would have practiced that. They'd have been in his ear saying, right, you've got to practice overtaking one of these McLarens because you'll have two of them to overtake tomorrow.
Derek, what about if McLarens...
He couldn't even get close.
Yeah. What if the McLarens are on the same tyre as Hamilton tomorrow, though, instead of the soft versus the medium for the start of the race? Or do you think McLaren will see what happened today and think, let's start on softs?
Yeah, right. Well, they could well do. They could well do that. You saw what sort of a gap Bottas pulled out over Verstappen and Ricciardo. I mean, he was 10 seconds off the pace. I mean, if Hamilton can't catch Norris and Ricciardo, what chance is he going to have of getting anywhere near Verstappen tomorrow? Not a chance. Not a way.
I think even by the time he clears the two McLarens, if he does, Max will be that far down the road that he'll be very limited on what he can do. The thing is, obviously, we've got the two McLarens tomorrow. We've got to give a shout-out for Daniel Ricciardo in that second place, a front-row start for him. But it also goes to show that these McLaren cars are far, far better on a flat-ish proper racetrack versus what we had at Zandvoort. And it clearly shows the setup of the car and how it's designed aero-wise. It suits a proper track versus the undulations that we had in Zandvoort. That has got to bode well for the McLarens tomorrow, Derek.
Yes, I can see podium. I don't know whether we'll have two or whether we'll have one, but we'll definitely have a papaya sat on the top step tomorrow. Definitely.
And then the two Ferraris are also together in fifth and sixth, sandwiching Hamilton in between. I mean, their goal is to try and take points off of McLaren. That's their number one goal. But if Hamilton can't get past Norris in a McLaren, the chances of Leclerc or Sainz getting past a Hamilton, they have no chance. Absolutely no chance.
No, they'll be backwards.
Yeah.
They'll go backwards as well, you see. And that it's all got the makings of a procession again.
Yeah.
And that's really sad. Really sad that it's just going to be another procession race.
Derek, obviously Perez was struggling to get through the traffic and the team were trying to urge him on and he did make up one position. But as I said, Gasly and Bottas dropped him to the back. He should have made up more. I mean, with Perez in that position, he's out of position. Again, by the time he actually gets up to try and help Max at the front of the field, Bottas will probably have caught him. But again, Perez, poor qualifying, poor sprint race, out of position, bumping wheels, going over the curbs. Really, he's not doing the job that they brought him in for, but clearly better than what Albon and Gasly were doing for them. But another one out of position, and he's got Alonso right behind him, who looked very much the aggressor today, which was, that's the only thing I like watching the sprint race for, is Alonso getting stuck in and actually trying to make something out of the sprint race. Couldn't achieve it today, even although he tried his damnedest. But Alonso sitting there in 10th, he's got Vettel behind him, Ocon, Latifi, Russell, and the usual sort of smash behind. All we're going to really see is Gasly and Bottas coming through the field tomorrow, and that might be the only excitement. That in turn one, I think, tomorrow.
I feel that the really, really negative thing that this sprint race does is that anybody who's going to make up places off the start tomorrow has already made them off the start today.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah, it's
so
a fair point. Yeah.
Wherever they start from wherever they start tomorrow, the only way they're going to go is backwards.
Yeah.
Or hold station.
Yeah.
And that is the truth, I think. You know, Hamilton should get past people tomorrow.
Yeah, especially,
all
I think,
being fair.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about, though, Derek. Instead, he's talking about it's a battle at the front. We're now talking about it's damage limitation for Hamilton. Can he get past and catch Max? Going by what Bottas's performance today was, Hamilton should. But those two McLarens are going to prove tough to get past. And that's the other thing, Derek. Where has this performance for Bottas been the rest of the season? Is he got into a zen zone because he's now sorted out his contract? Why all of a sudden is Bottas on pole and putting in performances that if he'd been putting in the past 4.5 years, maybe he would have had a challenge in a world championship? And it gets me the same with Gio. These guys, maybe
it would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. The race tomorrow is at 2 p.m. I'm looking forward to the race for the start, But thereafter, it's going to be the same nonsense. We're very negative today. I'm sorry.
And a bit of a rage against
Red Bull, but I just think what they were pulling today was absolute crap.
I mean, as they always say, that McLaren are not racing Mercedes at the moment. They're racing Ferrari. And if they're going to risk one of their cars against Hamilton, you know, then they're going to lose points. So they might just step aside. They might just step aside and let him go.
Yeah.
And let him race with Verstappen.
We can only hope that. I mean, as we've said, the sprint race format, I think we should have a sprint race. But as you said, Derek, let's do the qualifying for the actual Grand Prix as proper qualifying, then the Grand Prix. And the sprint race should be either a reverse grid, reverse the top 10, and we do it on the Friday, or we do it just before qualifying, after qualifying, something like that. But the grid needs to be mixed up a lot more. And we need to have different cars. Sprint racing is not going to work with this particular specy car. We need the 2022 car, and all we can hope is that we get closer racing because of it. Because otherwise, if anything, this is actually, this makes the weekend worse. I Silverstone, it was like, oh, let's try it. We get here and we're like, this hasn't been great. And if we're going to do it in Brazil, another track that, okay, it's got a high-speed section into the centre S's, into turn one, turn two, maybe get past there, maybe down into turn three, but the rest of Brazil, you follow the leader until you start coming back up the hill at the end into turn one. And that is not going to be a sprint race that we can actually watch in any way, shape or form. It's going to be the same processional nonsense that we saw today and Red Bull moaning about something, clearly. Derek, that's pretty much it. There's nothing else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him and the grandkids that are running around in the garden. Take care, stay safe, and we'll speak to you all tomorrow.
This has been a Beautycat production for DNF1.